The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Gene Owens is an Atlanta-based musician and songwriter of the rock band Faithless Town, which is ironically named because courage takes faith, and he is one of the precious few people in the musical biz that dared to question Big Pharma and the government in recent years. Bride is the lead single from their forthcoming Into the Light Volume 2, due out in April 2023. It is a lively romantic track featuring a cheerful duet with Leora Joy Pierre of the Canadian folk duo Winesome Kind. We will hear a sneak peek of that in a bit. But for now, welcome to the show, Gene. How are you, my friend? Thank you for coming back on.
I'm doing great, Joseph. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for doing it. Where are you at right now? Are you in Atlanta? What's going on? How's music treating you? How's life been?
Yeah, man, life's been great. You know, it's spring is here. The weather's beautiful here in Georgia. I'm in Athens, Georgia currently. And
right on.
We've got a bunch of shows coming up, so I'm stoked. Yeah, I'm stoked to be getting back on stage and making some music.
It's I just played a show last night out in the desert in Apache Junction. It's so great playing live music. When you think of, I mean, I'm watching you guys on TikTok, and I like all your TikToks, and the songs sound great, and you're really good in the studio. But for you, is it more gratifying playing live? What do you prefer, the studio or live?
Oh, man, that's tough. They're just such different beats. You know, it's like there's something about connecting with the live audience and just being on stage that's such a beautiful, process and experience. And I think so many people were missing that over the past few years. You know, so many of the things that we took for granted, you know, just like gatherings, just the things that make us human, you know, weddings and funerals and concerts and church service, like so much of that was under attack for the past few years. So now that people are back doing that, I just think it's a beautiful thing, and hopefully we'll never take that for granted again. But yeah, man, I just like both. You know, I love playing live, and then I love being in the studio. It's just like a different beast. In the studio, I'm just like, I'm a perfectionist, and I'm just like chasing a vision until I nail it. But it's much more of a solitary thing, whereas playing live is all about connection.
Yeah, it's a trip because I'm working on a new album right now, and I, you know, this gig came to me last minute, and I almost didn't do it because I'm focused on new music and stuff. So it's hard to go from one frame of mind to the other. And I'm so glad I decided to go ahead and play, because it's just something about the live experience and just, you know, the sort of raucousness of it, the imperfection of it. It is a spiritual connection. And I do believe a lot of what we've been through over the last few years has been, you know, an attack on our freedoms and all kinds of the things that we've talked about. But it's also just been an attack on what makes life a joyful experience. And I think music is so essential to that. And I'm sort of really tapping back into that feeling again. Don't you think that music has a vital role in the sort of war to win back humanity's soul, so to speak?
100%. Yeah. For me, music is a sacred thing. You know, I'm not a terribly religious or spiritual person, but I find a lot of spirituality and meaning in music. Like, I just think it's like, it's just an honor. Every opportunity you get to perform for an audience and take a stage and play in kind of the rich, you enter that rich history of all the musicians and songwriters and performers that came before us, you know, and that will follow us in the future. It's a beautiful, magical thing. It, you know, it can move people to tears. It can stoke the flames of rebellion. It can provoke thought. It can move people to romantic feelings. Music, it can heal. It's just a magical, magical thing.
And, you know, one thing about this gig last night, there was like people that had taken the jab and not. And actually, I, you know, shared the stage with an artist that has taken the jab. And, you know, we all just got on like a house on fire. It was nothing but love. And we were even cracking jokes about the whole thing. It seems like the tension amongst humans around that whole narrative is dissolving. I think we went to this deeply unconscious place, and people's consciousness is certainly waking up in these realms. And I just feel like music is at the center of a sort of healing balm for what we need right now.
Yeah, I agree, man. And, you know, that's what I've been trying to, almost every song on our new album, this new EP that's coming out in April, is a collaboration with other musicians that are outside of my band. Like you mentioned, the first single, it was a collaboration with Leora Joy Puri of Winsome Kind, this Canadian folk duo. But like almost every song has like somebody that's in another part of the country or world collaborating. And that's the beauty of music, you know. And that's also the beauty of like, you know, there's so many negatives of the internet and social media, but the beauty is that you can connect with people that are on such great distances away from you, and you can collaborate in a way that before this technology existed would have been impossible.
Well, and why did you decide to do an album with so many collaborations? What did the spirit of collaboration bring to you that surprised you?
You know, it kind of happened organically, because every song kind of, like when I write, I don't know how you are when you write a song, like if you kind of already envision of how it's going to be produced and arranged, or if that kind of comes later when you're in the studio. But for me, it's like I usually will write something, and then almost right after writing it, I'm like, I kind of hear like what it wants to be. Like, oh, I need, like, there should be organ here, and there should be like maybe that should be a ukulele. So yeah, I'm not sure, like when you write, how does that work for you? Does the arrangement and production, does that come later? Or do you already have an idea once you finish the song of what it's going to be like, the finished product?
I usually have two modes. One is I start with a beat and then I have no idea, or I'll write a bunch of words and I'll have a beat and then I'll play something on my Moog synthesizer and do kind of more urban style music that way. And then the other style is real folk with the acoustic guitar. And so, which I'll usually keep stripped down, or sometimes it'll turn into more of a rock and roll thing that way. So I don't really sort of pre-plan it, but I have those two main modes of going, and I'm not usually shocked by the result. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. For me, it's like, I do have this idea of what the song or what I think it wants to be. And for these songs on this, on part two, it's like each one kind of wanted something that was outside of my ability, or, you know, like I wrote a duet that had a part for a female voice on Bride. And I was like, oh, I can't sing like that. And who's going to be that voice? And then I found Leora to sing that part. There's another song called Shelter, and that's on the forthcoming EP. And I just envisioned this kind of like, you know, like three soulful, like background singers kind of doing a gospel thing, almost like Dylan's gospel albums, or like the amazing like female vocals on some of the Stone stuff. You know, like that lady that sang on Give Me Shelter. Right. And I kind of had that in mind, and I was like, well, I don't know anybody that does that really locally. So I found this amazing Australian soul singer, Jane McRae, who I think she lives in the States now, and she's amazing. And she did these like incredible gospel inspired vocals for that song. So it was just like happened organically, which each song I heard something that I was unable to create myself, and I had to outsource it. And then I went searching for the people that would be right for those tunes.
Well, now that you're starting to tour again and picking up shows, I mean, obviously you went through a lot of difficulties in speaking up, in times of tyranny and times of censorship. Are you finding that the world is opened up to you, or are you still seeing resistance?
I feel like it's pretty open. Yeah, and this week, the week ahead is actually going to be very telling because we're playing a venue in Athens that we pulled out of. We were supposed to play 2 years ago, and we pulled out of the show because they started requiring proof of the jab. And so I made a statement saying, we refuse to play any place that that has discriminatory policies,
segregation,
in place, or
calling
for any kind of segregation. And so, that venue now does not have those policies. Of course, almost every venue in Athens embraced that same policy. So from the 40 Watts, Georgia Theater, you name it, to Nowhere Bar, from the smallest little venue in Athens to the biggest ones, all embraced those same policies. So for about 2 years, if we were playing anywhere, we were playing on the outskirts of town, or we were playing places in Atlanta that weren't enforcing those kind of requirements, or we were throwing our own shows. So we're actually playing one of these places because they don't have those policies in place. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you say this is going to be telling, do you mean because you'll see if people show up, or just how you're received? Or how do you mean it's going to be telling?
Yeah, I think that, see what the turnout will be, see how we're received. Because there were definitely a lot of haters that came out when we made a statement saying that we weren't going to play, we were going to pull out of that show because they had started to implement that policy of requiring proof of the jab. And it'll be interesting to see how we're received. I feel like a lot of people just want to move on from that. I would love some of these venues to apologize. I would love for people to just own up to it and say, we were afraid, we were buying we got bamboozled. We're sorry if we treated anybody unkindly. We're sorry if we othered anybody during that period. And we're going back to being, truly inclusive and welcoming all again. And we're sorry we ever strayed from that. I would just love somebody to come out and say that.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. Let me just, sorry to break your fantasy that is a possibility. I mean, yeah, there's a few people here and there that will do that, have done that. But by and large, humans, especially if they're locked in their ego, will never admit they're wrong, because that's akin to death. It's psychologically speaking, for an ego, if you're sort of egocentric, to admit fault is akin to death, because your whole identity is rooted in this sort of illusion anyway. And so for an illusion to say, hey, I was under an illusion, I'm an illusion, it becomes like a feedback loop of personal crisis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and you're probably right. And it's a very sad realization, because the reality is that, we live in an imperfect world full of fallible people. And if nothing else, all of us are trauma victims after the past few years. Everybody in one way or another has really been put through some pretty intense trauma. And so, I try to keep that in mind. And, when people come at you with a lot of negativity or emotion, and so you got to remind yourself, a lot of times that's all about them. Like you said, they're chained to their ego, and they're not in a place to be able to acknowledge, they're a flawed person. We're all flawed human beings, and it's okay to acknowledge when we're wrong and to accept that our flaws within ourselves. And another.
Yeah. I think also just letting it go, the only problem is there's going to be some more strange attempts probably coming at us real soon as well. So hopefully people don't fall in line as easily next time. But, I really think the only way for us to really defeat this and move on, at least from this particular COVID period, is to just have a sense of forgiveness, even if an apology isn't asked for. It's not like, a non-judgment spirit, to get into the place of non-judgment, because if you go into judgment, then you've also been pulled into the fray of the sort of demonic narrative, even if you're so-called right, or you know what I mean? If you're judging others, if you're angry at others, then you're not operating from the spirit of love, you know? And if we can really get to that place of operating from the spirit of love and forgiveness, and it doesn't mean you don't speak your mind, you don't still say what you think, but yeah, just kind of really be defeating the darkness with actual light.
I dig that, man. And I know you made a video about it, and then a song that kind of accompanied the message of forgiveness is a time machine, and that right. It definitely struck a chord with me. Yeah, and I dig that concept a lot. And to be honest, I was kind of ruminating on that message for a little while, and I was almost even thinking of reaching out to some folks that I had, you know, we've kind of had a falling out over the past few years. And I thought, you know, maybe I should extend, try to reach out, even though I felt, you know, don't feel like I did anything wrong to jeopardize those relationships. And maybe I think those people may have, in some cases, definitely did. I did think, man, maybe, it's time to embrace that, to love and forgiveness and not be judgmental and let go of those grudges.
Well, you don't have to admit you're wrong for your perspective, but where we do become wrong is when we become judgmental, because that's not really of us, you know, not to get too deep into this, but it's like, so if you're looking for a way to say, hey, I'm sorry I judged you, you know what I mean? And I'm just want to, you know, say, I forgive you. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's, if you really want to beat the devil down, that's sort of the way to do it. Like, if we stay angry, we're going to stay mired in resentment. And that's going to mean that the devil got our soul too. You know, so it's just, to me, I feel like operating from that sort of space is the way forward. That doesn't mean, you know, to not speak out the next time you see tyranny take root. It doesn't mean that at all, but it just means you did not win in sort of deceiving us into like giving away all the joy of our lives and our ability to make music.
Yeah, I agreed. And it is not letting those powers that have this agenda of divisiveness, you know, everything
right
over the past, I mean, even going back before COVID, right? Things have been pushing us towards isolation. They just want to, you know, push us in different camps and isolate us from other people on all these various issues, and see of all the things of where we disagree or where we're different instead of the things that should unite us. And that brings us, you know, full circle back to music. Music is that thing that can unite people, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, regardless of your backgrounds. You know, I mean, you can listen to a song that's not even in your own language and it could move you to tears. You don't even know what the person's saying, but you can hear the human emotion of it. And that's what we need, you know. And I know you've talked about this
Absolutely.
With Brad about, you know, Bandcamp and these other things, you know, these platforms censoring musicians. And that really frustrates me, because it's like music should be the place.
All right, let me cut you off there, Gene. Sorry, I got to go to a break. But I want to get your, I want to pick it up right there from what your perspective is on this whole Bandcamp censorship thing and where that's going. We'll be right back with Gene Owens from Faithless Town, and we're going to hear a tune as well right after these words on TNT.
You should hear what James Freeman is talking about on The Freeman Report.
Putin threatens response over Britain's toxic tank shells. Now, the crux of this story is that the UK's Minister of State for Defence, Baroness Goldie, has announced that the Challenger 2 tanks Britain is supplying to Ukraine will be armed with depleted uranium shells. Such rounds are highly effective at defeating modern tanks and armoured vehicles. Well, golly gosh, isn't that dandy? Who would have known that depleted uranium would be good at destroying tanks? Unless Hang on, haven't we used these shells before? Weren't they responsible for significantly increased cancer rates in Iraq? No, surely not. The British government would never supply weapons for use in a country that is claiming to help, would it? Wouldn't that be a huge contradiction? Supplying cancerous weapons to be used in the very same lands, yes, the very same lands that are home to the people that it claims to be supporting. No, no, dear boy, you must be mistaken. Well, no, because this is exactly what is happening.
The Freeman Report and James Freeman on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. The Green New Deal supports the abuse and murder of children in the Congo, mining for cobalt for the electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Gene Owens from Faithless Town. Gene, we were just about to go into band camp and censorship, and I kind of wanted to reiterate the fact that we still have to fight the good fight. I'm not saying stand down when I'm giving my hippy-dippy message of love and forgiveness. It just means I feel like that's a better weapon in the spiritual war, but it is a sincere one as well. But anyway, Gene, so yeah, Brad Skidamis, our good friend, and from the excellent band Five Times August, there's just massive in the protest movement and the community of people that resisted tyranny has been kicked off of Bandcamp with Tim Pool and a few other musicians, which is just very disturbing because obviously social media platforms have been kicking people off left and right for eons now, so we're used to that. But this is kicking people off for making art, you know, and maybe for their views, who knows, but this is different because this is unceremoniously just removing art from the internet now, which is a sort of deeper cut in a way, especially for types like me and Gene Owens here. But Gene, what's your take on this whole Bandcamp thing, and what were you about to say about that?
I was just going to say that music is this great unifying force. And like you were saying, you played this concert the other night, people that were jabbed, unjabbed people from, from all different backgrounds. And everyone could come together and enjoy a night of music and enjoy that as an art form. And that's what these platforms like Bandcamp should be about. It shouldn't be just one, people, only artists of this particular ideology or that subscribe to this narrative can be on this platform. It's really scary. It's an attack on once again, something that has the potential to unify us, to bridge gaps. It's once again forces us to be fragmented and go off. It's like people say, well, you could just start your own platform. But the problem with that just continues to, insulate people in their bubbles. Like you get banned from YouTube, so you go to Rumble. So there's the people now that are going to consume content on YouTube, but then there'll be the other people of different ideologies that consume things on Rumble instead of us all being in one place, one public forum. So I think it's horrible, and it's, I think overall it's just really detrimental to society. And I wish Bandcamp at least would stop being so cowardly and at least give an explanation of why they're deleting people.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, I think you need to at least claim it and explain it. And I'm sure eventually I think they'll be forced to do that. I mean, Brad is obviously a very big musician, but Tim Pool's reach is astronomical. And if he pursues any kind of agenda against that, which I think he's going to, I would imagine they're going to have to comment on it. It's so weird too, because if you really think about it, all of it's rooted in overt concern about what people think. I'm having a harder and harder time even caring what I think. You know what I mean? Like, to the idea that I'm going to care about what somebody else thinks to a degree that it's going to elicit an emotional response from me. I mean, outside of like really insane things, like I think I'm, you know, I don't even want to say an example. You can just use your imagination, just like really out there, you know? And even then I would just think, oh, that person's absolutely out of their mind. But I mean, we're just talking about sort of political differences, rational political differences on both sides. I guess the idea is, oh, that's irrational or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's just like when humanity is pinpointing on thought so much, like that person thinks that, therefore I'm going to remove their art from this platform. It's just really strange.
I mean, it's terrifying. It's like 1984 Orwellian, you know, thought crimes. Like you're guilty of this thought crime, and so you don't get to be on this platform anymore. And once again, we're speculating because Bandcamp hasn't made a statement about it. So we're just assuming that it is, you know, politically or ideologically motivated, which I assume it is, because the people that have seem to be people, yeah.
All have that leaning, you know, leaning against the sort of whatever the mainstream narrative of it is. And when you say like, yeah, just make your own platform, but it's not easy to make a social media platform or an app and, you know, get that going. But do you have a Bandcamp page, and are you still going to release music on Bandcamp?
We do have a Bandcamp page, but we put out a single a week ago, and because of all this stuff that's come to light, I didn't feel like good about releasing it on Bandcamp. So it was like we released it everywhere else. You know, it's like on Apple and Amazon and so forth. But we didn't release it on Bandcamp, so I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with it moving forward, because it's also... it just kind of screws over music fans too, because all the people that bought Brad or Tim Pool's albums, then if they wanted to stream it on Bandcamp, because they would have it there, like you would buy something on, you know, iTunes and be your iTunes library or Amazon or whatever, Amazon library, you'd have access to it because you paid for it. Well, those people lost all of it because their whole catalogs got deleted. So it also screwed over the fans. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, do you want to trust that on a whim they can just get rid of you? So what I've been doing is I've been making sure that all my music is available through our website, faithlesstown.com. So if people want to buy it, they can get a digital download directly from the website. And I'm in control of that and in control of what they download. And so it's, you know, reclaiming more of that power and keeping it to yourself instead of outsourcing that to Bandcamp. Like, maybe that's the way forward.
I guess so. It's interesting. Now, is the single you're talking about Bride, or is it something else?
We actually put one out after Bride called Tears Rolling Down, but I gave you Bride because I thought it was a little more uplifting. The other song is called Tears Rolling Down, and it's a really kind of stripped-down, folky tune, and that came out almost 2 weeks ago. But I'm super stoked about Bride because it was this collaboration with Leora from Winsome Kind. And oddly enough, because going back to Brad, I discovered them because Leora's husband, who's the other half of Winsome Kind, he did a cover of one of Brad's songs. I think I Won't Be Leaving Quietly. And he did a great job. And then I saw that they were also fellow Free the Nation artists. And I just connected with them online, and we ended up collaborating on the song across thousands of miles in different countries.
Well, let's hear it now, if you don't mind. This is Bride with Leora Joy Pierre from Winsome Kind and Gene Owens and Faithless Town. Here we go.
I wish I could stay here with you, darling. I wish I never had to leave. and I so happy here together. I never wanna wake up from this dream. So tell me, we belong together and I'll be right beside. And nothing will ever come between us, so say that you'll be my friend. Spent my whole life looking for you. Spent some time just looking for myself. Now that I have finally found you, I want you and nobody else. So tell me, we belong together and I'll be right by your side. And nothing will ever come between us, so say that you'll be my bride.
And if the world gets in our way, let love and trust be our refrain
till the dying day. Tell me, we belong together and I'll be right by your side. Nothing will ever come between us, so say that you'll be my bride.
All right, that was Bride and Faithless Town. Beautiful song. Guest vocal by Leora Joy Pierre from Winsome Town. I mean, Winsome Kind, Faithless Town. Yeah, that was beautiful. Great vocal from her as well in the bridge there about the world maybe trying to get between them, which I think is compelling because we have seen an attack on sort of the nuclear family and the empowerment that that can bring against control from the government and whatnot, or just humanity finding its sovereignty. The empowerment that comes with marriage and that kind of union, is that what you were thinking?
I don't think I was thinking anything that deep. I was thinking something deep. I wrote that as I was preparing to propose to my wife back in like 2018, 2019, and I was just full of so much love and emotion for her that, and she actually kind of helped me write some of the lyrics because I had part of the chorus, but I was looking for something. I was so daft, I couldn't figure out something to rhyme with "I'll always be at your side," and she was like, "Say that you'll be my bride." It was kind of like maybe her subtle way of saying maybe you should propose. But at that point, I had already had the engagement ring. But yeah, I have thought about it after the fact, now that the song's been out. And, you know, it's like we've done these kind of more on-the-nose protest songs like New World Order or Do Not Comply. But there is something that's rebellious in this day and age about just writing a song about love and marriage. Because that you're right, the nuclear family is under attack. The institution of marriage and monogamy is under attack. So there's a rebellious spirit in that, you know, just settling down, raising a family, procreating with the opposite sex. That is in building a life together. That's under attack right now.
And so, did you guys go ahead and get married? Did that already happen? I think it did, right?
Yes. Yeah, we were supposed to get married in 2020, and then all the craziness of COVID made us reschedule it for like a year later. Yeah, we were supposed to get married in May of 2020 and then honeymoon in Italy in June of 2020. So that didn't quite work out as planned. But we have since tied the knot, and yeah, we're happily married right now.
And has that been empowering? What's been the most surprising result of that for you?
You know, it's every day is a new journey, and I just feel so grateful and so blessed to have my wife at my side and in my life. You know, she collaborates on all my music videos with me for the most part. Like the one we shot for Bride, she filmed all the performance footage of me playing. Like we were out in the woods in Georgia. And by the same token, Leora's husband, Scott, shot all her footage up on some little island off the Pacific coast of Canada. And then I edited it all together. But my wife is just, she's such an empathetic person. And she's grown so much, too, over the past few years. And we just continue to grow together, you know. And I love her with all my heart. And I hope everyone can find someone out there that that gives them that feeling of joy and gratitude.
But have you felt like a sense of empowerment through it? I mean, the romantic stuff is great, but I'm talking more like sort of in a spiritual realm, the difference between just being boyfriend and girlfriend to tying the knot. Is it, I mean, I guess maybe you probably, you know, your wife's probably listening, so yeah, but. And I'm certainly not looking for dirt, but I'm just like wondering if there was a sense in a spiritual way, if there was any kind of revelation of empowerment in that union.
We were together years before we got married. We're coming up on 9 or 10 years of knowing each other, being, even of dating or being together. And we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary back in last November. But yeah, I will say there's just something, you know, that you have each other's backs, you know, like things have gotten, it's not easy. You know, marriage is not easy. Everyone says that,
of course,
seems
not
like a cliche, but there are things that will come to light. There are things, you know, there'll be challenges thrown at you. And the fact that, you know, you have somebody else that will face those challenges. And even when, you know, sometimes you need to be strong for them and vice versa. And it's just at the end of the day, you know, you're going to work through it. You know, everything's not going to be perfect and roses and sunshine. Sometimes shit can get dark, and but you're there to have each other's backs. And I think that's the bond, and that's the commitment of saying, like, I'm not going to just give up on you if things get difficult. Like, I'm still going to be here. And so there is an empowerment in that. And
listen,
I think
Gene,
people miss out.
All relationships, you know, all relationships are a form of warfare as well. Let's face it. It's humanity we're talking about here. That almost goes without saying. But hopefully we all find a good partner to go to war with and love a little bit along the way as well. Got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Gene Owens from Faithless Town after these words on TNT.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Where have all the swamp rats gone? Long time shilling. Where have all the swamp rats gone? Tearing us down. No, seriously, where are they? The lugubrious John Forbes Carey. The pestiferous Peter Strzok. The diabolical John Brennan. Die Spy, Yertle the Turtle, Cocaine Mitch himself. Where are all these people? Where's AOC? Where's the rest of the squad? Where's Alana? Where's Incest Omar? Where are all the people that have been occupying the front pages for the last 6 years? Mysteriously quiet. Where are they? More importantly, what are they up to? From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
Anglo-American instigated regime change wars in recent decades have had a tragic outcome. Remember President George W. Bush's threat to Saddam Hussein in November 2002. If he refuses to disarm, then we will lead a coalition of the willing and disarm him. This threat was based on lies concocted under British Prime Minister Tony Blair that Saddam Hussein could unleash weapons of mass destruction in 45 minutes. More than 1 million Iraqis have died as a result of the conflict in their country since the US-led invasion in 2003. The Watson Institute for International and Public Affairs reports that as of 2021, 9.2 million Iraqis are internally displaced or refugees abroad. Regime change wars have left failed states, hotbeds of terrorism, and a refugee crisis not seen since World War II.
If you're talking about it,
a poem, one today, says, "And always one moon, like a silent drum, tapping at every rooftop and every window on every in of every county." Let me start this over again.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Gene Owens from the band Faithless Town. We just heard their new song, Bride, which was excellent. And we're just talking away over here. Listen, I just saw this YouTube video about the music business and how difficult it is to have a career in music these days, and there's all these responsibilities we have now. We have to be marketers, we have to be video makers, we have to sell the thing, we have to promote the social media thing, and just how impossible it all is to do all of it really well. I follow you on TikTok, I see you guys posting little videos there. How do you keep your spirits up, and do you get overwhelmed in the process of sort of being an independent musician, getting ready to put out a new album?
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be daunting. And I think you just got to, one, you unfortunately have to accept that that's the world in which we live now. And if you want to compete in the world and, you know, you got to play the game of social media, unfortunately. I would love to just hire somebody to do it for me. I've looked into that, and it's like you see these people, like these companies that will manage your social media, and it's unbelievably expensive. So you can only imagine what something like a machine like Taylor Swift or, you know, Rihanna, or one of these big name artists, Sam Smith, what they have behind them. Like, they have people getting thousands and thousands of dollars, like a whole, you know, salaries to manage their social media and watch for trends and different marketing things. But yeah, I think it just comes back to, you have to really love it. You know, there's so many other ways to spend your time on this planet that would be probably more financially rewarding than being an artist or a musician. So I feel like you should only really do it if you have no other choice. Like, you just feel the need that you have to create and you have to share it with the world. And that's where I'm at. So for me, it's just, I just genuinely love it. I love creating. I don't like the marketing side of it as much, but I see it as a necessary evil. And I just, when I feel overwhelmed, I just bring myself back to why I'm doing it in the first place. You know, the first time I heard, the self-titled Doors album, and I never heard anything that weird and amazing and magical. Or the first time, you know, I heard Sam Cooke sing, and heard A Change Is Gonna Come, and like the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And the first time I played on stage, those moments, you remind yourself why you're doing it, and you have a genuine love and passion for it. And I think that'll keep motivating you to do it. And then don't do it for the money. Do it for the love. As cliche as that is, it's true.
Yeah, the artist I was playing with last night, who he does that, he hired out his social media, and he told me the organization, and he told me the price tag was $2,500 a month for social media. And I was like, wow, this is wild. I mean, but what happens is our energy goes into that, and then all that energy used to just go all into the music. How do you divide up the time you're going to spend marketing yourself and promoting on social media versus the music?
Yeah, it is really challenging. I kind of like when I'm in modes of like creating, I'll be really bad about sharing anything on social media. Like the times when I should be capturing things like, oh, we're here in the studio and, you know, we're about to track this guitar. I'll be really bad because I'm in the moment, you know, in terms of the social media side aspect, because I want to be present and think about, and all I'm thinking about is what kind of guitar tone we're chasing and what this part's going to be like. And maybe I should play this one reference to our engineer so he knows what I'm looking for. And I'm not thinking about, oh, I should get a really good picture for Instagram. So it's really hard. I just kind of go in like modes of like, now I'm creating, this is about, you know, whether I'm writing a song on the guitar or if I'm in the studio working, recording it and bringing it to life and arranging it, I'm focused on that. And I'm present on that. And then I kind of get into like promotion side, you know, where it's like, okay, the album, like this album that's coming out in April, it's been in the can, like mixed and mastered since like December of last year. So I've just been sitting on it, and now I can kind of just focus on like, you know, release this single, release that one, put this, you know, TikTok video out. I can break it up that way. Now, granted, I would rather just kind of be working on the next thing and maybe writing, but you can kind of make it fun, even though it is what it is.
It's super challenging. I think the whole key is when you're playing the reference for the engineer, then you just have to bring out your iPhone and videotape yourself playing the reference to the engineer and saying, here's me in the studio playing the reference. I mean, people like those little technical behind the scene things too. So that's a strategy. But I guess what's interesting is to go for a music career now, it's expanded into all these other art forms. You have to become a video maker. You have to learn how to edit video. You have to become skilled. You have to open up yourself to all kinds of new skill sets. Have you ever thought about why that is? What, like, sort of on a more spiritual basis, like what's the universe trying to push us to learn, or God or whatever you want to call it, trying to push us to learn, to expand into all these other skill sets?
I haven't asked that question, but I do think that when you expand into different creative pursuits, I think it makes you a better overall artist. Like it kind of, like in the moment, I've done improv comedy. You know, I was, before COVID, I was doing training at Groundlings, and I would do like student shows at Groundlings, and doing that just like opened me up. Like doing comedy improv opened me up to, like, I feel like the creative energies, like I found myself, like songs were coming easier to me to write. And I feel like it just makes you a more well-rounded artist and creator. And I think once you start getting those creative juices flowing in one kind of medium, and you probably see this with like your painting, once you get the creative juices flowing in like one medium, it almost like kind of opens you up to other ones, you know, and allows the things to just kind of flow through you, whatever that creative force is, a little easier.
So Groundlings is like improvisational comedy troupe, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was super fun, but they bought the COVID scam hard.
Oh, man. Well, all the art world did. Everybody did, just about, except for a precious few of us. But the key to improvisation, I've heard, is saying yes to everything. So, and that's what was kind of bookends this whole interview, because we talked about live music at the front. And within live music, you need a strong improvisational sort of ability. Basically, you have to roll with the punches. What else did you learn when you went to Groundlings?
You nailed it with yes ands, man. That's what it's all about. It's yes ands. You know, you do exercises. Like when you first start the improv training, they have you try to have a conversation with one of the other classmates, just the two of you, and you're supposed to say, like, give you some prompt, like, do pitch me a Broadway musical. And one, the other person just is pitching, the other person just goes, yes, and then they add on to it. And then you do the exercise and you do yes, but, or no, but. And when it's a no, but, or a yes, but, it's like you can't build anything, right? It's that negative force is just kind of deters you from ever moving forward with the story that you're writing, you know, this hypothetical music or whatever it is. And that's, you can apply that just to life, right? So many people are no buts getting through life. They turn down things, they focus on the negative things instead of saying yes and helping to support and build. I feel like, you know, I see a lot of creatives fall in that, that rut where they just focus on the negative things instead of saying yes and saying yes to things and, you know, cooperating and collaborating. So I learned that.
Saying yes to every opportunity. It's true. It stretches off across all of life, that whole philosophy. I mean, but in order to be there, you have to overcome your fear of failure. How do you overcome your fear of failure?
Man, I just own it. I just own it, you know? That's, like I said, it goes back to, you know, we're imperfect. It's an imperfect world, and we're all fallible people. And everything worth, you know, doing, you're going to run the risk of failing, and you're going to fail at everything you do, you know, until you get it right. So you just got to keep following your heart, stay true to yourself. And you know, yeah.
Get going and then get good. Start, you know, act without fear, just move into it, say yes and to every creative endeavor. And that, you know, that is the key though. Just being bold with it, not worrying about what other people think. I mean, that is the social media disease as well, is there's all these comments and sometimes negative stuff gets in there and it shuts people down. So people need to open up and just be willing to fail and fail loudly and do it again and again until you get good.
100%. Oh, and speaking of saying yes to creative endeavors, I see that both of us are on the bill for Rebels for a Cause, this festival that's taking place the weekend of June 3rd and 4th.
Okay,
in Nashville.
June 3rd and 4th.
So I'm very excited.
Yep,
that, and hopefully.
Let's improvise.
Yeah, that's Rebels for a Cause. Yeah, man, maybe we could, maybe I can get you to, you know, we'll do a song together or something.
I would love to. Hey, Gene, thank you for coming on. Gene Owens from the band Faithless Town. Tell people how to find you.
You can find us everywhere at Faithless Town. Our website's faithlesstown.com. And yeah, come see us. All our tour dates are up on the website.
And the new album, Into the Light Volume 2, is due out April 2023. So make sure you pick that up. Faithless Town is awesome. Gene Owens, thank you for coming on again. And keep listening, everybody. We'll be right back with more on TNT.